House lawmakers are voting today on a $3 trillion relief bill from the Democrats. It would send $1 trillion to state and local governments and another $1,200 check to individuals. Already, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has said Republicans will not consider the bill unless it includes liability protection for businesses. For more, let's bring in Neil Bradley. He's Chief Policy Officer for the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Neil, thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me, Tanya.
Yes, well, of course, we are in unprecedented times, and this is such a complex issue, but there are valid points on both sides. On one hand, you have businesses saying, there's no way I'm going to reopen if every single employee who comes down with COVID-19 is able to sue me. But on the other hand, you have people calling for the opening of businesses for the sake of the economy. What are you hearing on the business side?
Well, you know, what we're hearing, it's not just from businesses, it's from universities and nonprofits and, you know, really employers kind of across the spectrum, is that first they want to do the right thing and reopen safely. But in the course of reopening, what businesses and nonprofits and universities want to make sure of is that if we follow the appropriate public health guidance issued by the best minds at the CDC and OSHA or in our state, then we don't want to be second guessed, you know, a year from now when someone brings a lawsuit suggesting that we should have known that we should have done even more.
We've been hearing stories of hairdressers in Georgia trying to essentially deal with this on their own, making customers sign waivers. It's not really clear how enforceable those are. But what are you seeing in terms of litigation? You know, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has warned this is coming, major litigation. Or is this idea theoretical right now?
Well, it's not theoretical. We're already beginning to track hundreds of cases of litigation that have been filed. We also know that there are some people, unfortunately, who are looking to profit off of these kind of lawsuits. So, you know, amazingly, in some parts of the country now, there are advertisements on television soliciting individuals to become plaintiffs in litigation. It's really disappointing when we should be focusing on fighting the pandemic, getting people back to work in a safe manner, that people want to go out and spend money to try to figure out how to recruit plaintiffs so that they can sue businesses and nonprofits.
So, of course, we know that businesses want to do the right thing. But there are some industries we know that have records of workplace abuse, even before their workers started getting sick and dying in this current crisis. How do you make sure a few bad actors like these don't take advantage of any sort of new system that we're talking about?
Well, we have to be very careful about how we write that system to avoid that very outcome. And so what at the U.S. Chamber, what we're recommending, what we think is likely to be considered on Capitol Hill, is a very narrow, targeted, temporary safe harbor. So it's not immunity. It's not some of the things that you may have heard. What we believe is appropriate here is a safe harbor that says, if you follow the guidance issued by public health officials, then you have a safe harbor against being sued. If, however, you don't do that, if you are grossly negligent, if you engage in willful misconduct, then there's no safe harbor for you, and you can be sued as you appropriately should be sued for being a bad actor.
Well, one federal agency that really has the potential to make a big difference in all of this here is OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. House Democrat Ro Khanna of California actually said he'd be open to giving a liability shield to companies if OSHA requires them to develop strong worksite-specific plans on how they're going to protect their workers. But so far, OSHA hasn't done that. They've more so issued these broad guidelines. Would that be an acceptable trade-off in thinking about the commerce in all of this?
Well, the devil, of course, would be in the details. When OSHA normally, when people usually refer to strong regulations from OSHA, it is literally the 200-page rule book, for example, that applies to, you know, a medical facility, for example, that is developed over years and implemented over time. And it's only applicable to certain kinds of facilities. Here we're talking about trying to adopt public health and safety measures across nearly 8 million business establishments, plus nonprofits, plus schools across the entire country. And so I think it would be difficult to have a strict regulatory approach. We at the U.S. Chamber would be supportive of better guidance. We think we will learn more every day about this virus and how we can help stop it. And so the guidance ought to evolve and ought to be improved as we learn more. But that's a far different cry than kind of a strict regulatory approach, which frankly wouldn't be practical in terms of protecting public health.
That's Neil Bradley. He is Chief Policy Officer for the Chamber of Commerce. Neil, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.